Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hi, everyone.
We're talking about relationships today, and there's all kinds of research out in the world that talks about how if you want to live a long life, have good relationships. And, you know, is it your spouse relationship, family relationship, friends, et cetera, et cetera. I think one recent study someone shared with me was about longevity and making sure that you have really good friends in your 50s, that was the time to make sure you build really good friendships, because that was going to have an impact on you later on, which I thought was interesting, given that I just turned 50. Anyway, so today, and you know what I think about related to that, though, is it's an interesting time in your life, because for me, I've probably had a very traditional life. Like, I got married in my late 20s. I had my kids in my early 30s. They're now kind of, you know, growing up and going to university and stuff like that. And a lot of our friends that we formed over the growing up was with the kids was like the hockey families and the soccer families and stuff like that. And then that sort of changes. And so you're into a new season of life and maybe a little bit more particular about what you do and who you spend time with. And like my husband and I will often just choose to spend time with just ourselves. And I see people and they're like, you know, as they get older, it's like the two of them. And then what happens when one of them passes? Like, you do need to have a network of friends around. And then as you get older, there's less people on around you just by virtue of the cycle of life and stuff like that. So it makes sense to me that, you know, build a big network in your 50, because that network's going to shrink. Anyway.
Well, so I have a question then.
Yeah.
Do you find that you have less friends or relationships now than you did when you were younger?
So that's a good question. Is it acquaintances versus friends? Like the people around me and the level of closeness or intimacy with those people. I don't even know if I could answer that question, because there's different people in my life today than there were 10 years ago. And a huge part of that is starting a business and connecting with other business owners. Cause like those in this stage and phase of what I'm doing in life and my purpose and mission and what I care about, like, I'm all in to build those relationships now. And so that network has gotten much bigger and more fruitful and interesting and amazing. And yet you know, we don't have a play date, so I don't have to go hang out with some parent that, you know, it's just, you know, because my son Simon's friends with that kid. You know what I mean? So I don't have those types anymore. So it's shifted for sure. But I don't know if I have more or less.
You always mention about these high school friends of yours that you're totally connected with.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned that it was recently that you re-engaged with them.
Right. That's a good question.
So that's why, is it the same friends that you've had like throughout your lifetime, and then the ones that you disconnected in high school have re-engaged again? Mm-hmm. Or, and then what's how many are we talking that you were always engaged with that have re-engaged or you've stayed engaged with?
Yeah, such a good question. And it's funny how quickly this can go deep. So as you both know, I moved 14 times before I was 21. And so what skill did I cultivate? Making friends and then dropping them like hot potatoes. Because, you know, when you're in grade 6 and you move from New Jersey to Minnesota and you're like, yeah, we're going to write letters, literally write letters to each other. Like, how often, how long does that go on? So that's one. And so when I went to high school and I had formed these great relationships, I remember these girlfriends saying, we're going to be friends forever. And, you know, no matter where we go or what we do. And I was kind of like, yeah, I've been through this before. I'm not sure that's true. Like, I was cynical about it. And then we did sort of drop off. And then through technology, Facebook and other things, like the ability to connect and stay connected as a group through social media and stuff brought us back together. So I would say in kind of my early 30s, and that's when we came together again. And those friendships are very, very near and dear to me because those people have known me since I was a kid, before I knew anything about anything. And still, I don't know anything about anything. Well, I know more things about things, but still, not a lot about a lot. And so we have a way of knowing each other that's different than my new friendships, right? So those people, but I don't hang out with them day to day. They live all over the world. We meet once a year, and it's a really wonderful experience. But they wouldn't be like the people that I'm like, obviously, go out for dinner with or text every day and that kind of thing. So it's so I'm almost relearning how to cultivate long-term relationships with friends in particular, not with family. And family, because we moved around so much, we were so we had to be so intentional always about seeing each other, like my siblings and stuff, that we've always made the effort to see each other and to maintain a relationship. But with friends, I had to kind of relearn that. Apologies to all the friends that I easily walked away from over the years.
One second, that's an interesting part because I think that we have to work on relationships, right? We have to work on deepening them, thinking about the other person, getting in their shoes, trying to understand them to get a deeper connection. But I think when it comes to super close friends, I don't think it's something that we like you use the word cultivate. If I look at my two, let's say my two closest friends, and I was actually listening to a podcast at the weekend on this from Robin Sharma. I think I talked about this before, The Wealth Money Cannot Buy, which is a book. It's one book, it was a book. But I listened to them. It's such a good book. We'll put a link below to it. But he was mentioning that something that he read that said, you're lucky if you have three best friends in your life. It's all about, family, relationships, your health, finding things which is meaning and purpose. But you're lucky if you get three best friends. I was thinking to myself at the time, like, who are my, how many like best friends do I have that, you can call on them, I've been there through and through. And if I think about them two people, I've never really had to work on the relationship. It's always been there. It's hit off and it's always been there. And yes, there's been times when we haven't spoken for 3 months or 6 months, but then it's rekindled. Not that it needed rekindling, but we've got back in touch and it's always been there. And I don't know if you can have a best friend, let's say, with somebody who you've only known for, let's say, a year or two. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that, but like my two, I've known for, probably 25 years. And I've never had to work at them friendships. It's always been there. It's always been like that. And no matter through difficult times which we've had, it's always been like that.
So
So
how do you
that's
maintain the relationship, James? Because you're also someone that's moved from, the UK. You're in the UAE now, right? I find it fascinating because for me, I'm the opposite. I've always been one home. Long time, right? Haven't changed cities. Like, do you find that the friends that you had is as it? Sorry, go ahead.
Look, what one is here and one's still in the UK. The one here is of course that just makes it easier because we talk all the time. But the one in the UK, when I go back home, we just find a way to see each other. We talk all the time. We share things. We're open with each other, and. It's never a chore. It never feels like, oh, I've got to go and see them and make an effort because I need to work on the relationship. It just fits in.
I was going to
And you
ask
could
you what you
share,
meant by work.
I was going to say, you could share everything with these two friends.
Yeah, everything. Absolutely everything. But there's
Whoa.
nothing that I do not share. And there's the same.
That's
Like,
fascinating. Because if you use that as a filter for, you always that that saying, like, who are your hide the body friends? Bear the yeah. Those people who you could like literally who would commit
What do you
crime for
mean?
you. So that kind of friend is the person that you could tell everything to, like, your dirty, your worst, I don't know, secrets and stuff like that. And then there are all kinds of, I probably ranges outside of that, right? There's people, and then you get to the point where it's like an acquaintance that you have a good time with, but you wouldn't share any, deeply personal things, right? So that the definition of that, how many of those types of friends do you have? Those two friends, James, for you, are your, they would call them in the middle of the night, dig a hole, bury a body, move on, not ask any questions.
Okay, so now I have a ton of questions for you guys. So I just got back from a pretty intense personal development course. Okay, and I'm thinking to myself, who can I share what I experienced and they would understand? Okay, and the big thing for me is unless someone's experienced that level of depth of understanding self, or they've done any type of deep work that way, then you can at least share, because then it becomes a conversation in terms of, oh wow, that reminds me. And then the friend or whoever can explain what they went through, because it's literally not possible to articulate some of the things that happen, right? So now the question to you guys, those really close friends, if you went through a rabbit hole profound experience, would you be able to share that? And do they hold the space for you? Is it just a listening thing? Is there a sharing thing? And what would the conversation sound like?
So if I answer, of course I would tell them that I've done the course. I wouldn't have any issues in explaining it, but I wouldn't go deep because neither of the two of them have done anything like that. So I would be able to share, but they would probably have a bit of a joke and go, oh, James is off doing his thing and he's wacky and stuff, and we'd have a laugh about it. I wouldn't hide it, but at the same time, there's no point in me, going deep and going, because they can't, they would probably wouldn't be able to relate because it's not something that they've done or would be interesting in. But that
My
wouldn't
answer
be,
is the same.
that personally would, for me, wouldn't be an issue because that's not what necessarily what I'm looking for from this friend. It's someone that I feel like I can talk about anything. I can be myself. I can open up. When times are hard, if it's something really difficult, I know I can rely on them. Like if that was something that something happened and I needed to talk to them about, and I needed advice on something, then I'm sure I'd be able to get the advice based on that event. But if it's just to share, but then it's a little bit different for you, Stel, because it's also your profession. So, I don't know. I don't know whether or not that might make any difference in terms of what you're sharing or not.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my story and why there was a massive change. And the big thing for me when we lost Michael and then Gabriel was born, we're in the hospital for basically a year. I mean 146 days, but then afterwards we had Gabriel on oxygen for literally a year, right? And everything that everybody experienced during COVID in terms of masks and making sure everything's clean and making sure that Gabe's didn't get any infection at all. And you had to limit the amount of people coming to that. I mean, we lived it live. And what was interesting is how many people disappeared. And at the time I'm like, what happened here? I'm the same guy. Like what literally happened? But then I would hear things like, I can't imagine what you went through and I didn't want to bother you. Right. So then I could see values unfolding in terms of what they would have responded like if it happened to them, is basically the response that was there. So there was like a massive shift in terms of what happened with the friendships, right? And how deep and connected that they were. And obviously there's the key people that always stayed in. How's everything going? What are you doing? So that's when I started seeing things unfold, but it also started the deep dive process of the personal development on my end, right? Because now it's live. It's not a theoretical, what was the biggest challenge that happened in your life? And then throughout the years, with all the development that happened in life and all the development that happened, obviously in my career, there was a massive shift where everything's now gone to the coaching side. And I have the ability to help other people basically with their story. And in terms of potentiality, as you said, Mary, purpose, like the purpose is showing up large, right? So that the connection that I'm building, obviously you two are two people too, that there's this mutual shared how do I say, independent view of the future that's purpose-driven, that has meaning, or it's meaningful and mischievous, is connecting me at such a different level that those friends that I have been close to for the longest time, it's deeper because the meaningful components of it are even more appreciated, right? So there's a gratitude that's there. And then the new friends that are showing up are like deep quickly, because there's just so much more that we need to do. So anyways, I just wanted to share it with you guys, because again, it was like, I couldn't imagine if I was moving all the time and what it would be like in order to cultivate or try to cultivate the long-term relationships, right? As opposed to going deep on short-term relationships. And, you know, one of the things that we learned in one of the courses is there is a difference between the two in terms of the, I'll say the energy of it, but the what we get out of both sides, right? Like long-term relationships are sort of connected to the same type of awareness as you know, long-term goals or, you know, what we want in life and that type of thing, right? Short-term relationships are like fun. Let's go out. Let's have, you know, let's get engaged, that type of thing. And I don't know if we're going to be talking about personal relationship, but the same type of thing happens where in personal relationship, the first 2 years are the honeymoon period, fun, joy, so on and so forth. And it's after that second year that the depth of the deeper understanding of the relationship within your personal relationship starts to get cultivated, right? And that's how I kind of view long-term and short-term relationships. Anyways, I'll stop talking, but I'm just putting out that. That's why I was curious with all the questions I was asking before.
Well, I think it's interesting to think about length of time versus depth. And if does length of relationship equal depth or foster depth where it's short term, like, because I have moved a lot. And then when you move, when you change, like, you know, James went from the UK to Abu Dhabi, when you move jobs, when you move, like, you have different people around you. And so what you're making me think about, Stel, is, I do have relationships that are deep relationships that aren't, that don't go back as far as when I was a kid. And I'm like, I'm the same person, but you're a different person than when you were as a kid, right? So, you know, would the same six girls be friends today if we bumped into each other on the street? I don't know, you know, not likely. And that's kind of interesting because it's so cool to have a group of friends where you're different from and you still love each other. And like, it's almost like family that way, like, you know. You know, weird cousins, so ever, whatever, that, you know, you love, but don't understand. So, there's that, but then it does make me wonder in the relationships that aren't as long, do I not go as deep with those people because it doesn't feel as safe because it isn't as like, you know, like I've got three siblings who are going to be in my life as long as, you know, as long as we live. I know that even no matter how mad they would be at me or what I would share with them, they would still love me and they would still be there. But that's not the same thing with a friend you met a year ago. There are conditions to what somebody would go through with you based on how closely they feel to you and, you know, all the other things going on in their life. So I wonder if how deep you can go and how much you would rely on and be vulnerable and stuff like that. I'm guessing that I hold back for sure. Even though, like, I have another group of friends and we go away together once a year, sometimes twice. And I love them. We have great, deep conversations. And I think we are who we are. Like, you know, we can be ourselves and all that. I just, I now question myself, you know, how close are those friendships? I don't know.
Because I think for someone to become a best friend or a great friend, you need to be able to rely upon them and you need to be able to trust them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's something that you can just win over in a few months or maybe a year. It's like a member of staff, a team member, or anybody.
That
if you're comfortable with them, it takes time. And I think if you have got a team member or you've got a friend that's been with you for 10 years and they've demonstrated over them years that they can be trustworthy with the information, with you sharing, they hold the space, they give good advice. No matter how they're feeling one day, if they're bad, they're still there. Then that gives you the reasons to trust them and believe in them. But if someone's only been a friend for 6 months, it might start off really great, but in the back of the mind, subconsciously, I think you're always going to be saying, you know, are they going to be there? Can I rely upon them?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And I mean, by nature of what you choose to do too, because I don't know about you guys, but time is our most precious asset. And so where we spend our time and attention, dictates the quality of our life. And so how much are you willing to do for people, to stick it out through thick and thin and all the stuff? Like, you could be in service of others at the expense of yourself, probably all day long, every day, if you allowed it. So there, you, I mean, even ourselves, we have to have limits for how far we'll go and for who. I think I mentioned before on, I forget which topic it was, but that book, The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck, old book. But he talks about how you can only love like five people deeply. You can only truly love five people, because you cannot, if you truly love someone, then you are invested wholeheartedly, all in on their personal growth and development. And how many people can you do that for? Not many. So when I think about that, not even in the friend circle, I think about my husband, my kids, my siblings, my parents, like even that's more than five. So there are limits. We have our own limits, and then that means we also know that other people have limits.
So, Mary, how many best friends do you have?
So funny you say that, because my daughter will ask me that question. I don't know if I have one best friend. I could say my sisters, but maybe that's an unfair thing because they're sisters. And I have a brother too, but like sisters talk about sisterly things.
No, I don't think it takes away from the fact that they're a best friend just because they have a label as a sister or because they have the same blood. I think that if you fit the criteria, you fit the criteria.
Like, so, the people that I call when, the shit's hit the fan and I'm feeling my lowest and all of that. I mean, I would definitely say my husband. And I have one sister who I can remember, like, throughout time, has always been that person. And I have a couple of friends. Like, my high school friends are definitely bury the body friends. I think I get all five of them out with a shovel. We live far away, so but it's not the same. Like, I'm feeling super low and raw at this moment and need help. I could, maybe there's two or three people in my life that I would do that with. And that
And
would even be easy. Asking for help. Remember, we've talked about this before.
how about you,
So
Steph?
I had a huge realization last week.
Okay, tell us.
Well, I'll tell you guys what happened yesterday because the Miami Maple Leafs are in the playoffs, and game one was on, what's today, Tuesday, on Sunday night. But in answer to your question, I realized I have one best friend.
Is it you?
It's the inner version, inner child version of me.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and what was interesting, I don't want to get into too many details with the course, but it was amazing. Actually, I can't say it was Dr. Joe Dispenza's week-long retreat, and I have no problems advertising the bejeepers out of it because it was massively impactful. And anyone that's listening that they feel resonated to the process, feel free to look into it. One of the things that I've learned is, as both of you know, I've been doing personal development work for many, many years. And it was just the process made me realize how much work I've done, and it pieced a bunch of the puzzle together to allow that inner child to now grow. Right. And one of the processes was to build the relationship of that inner child. And the other thing that I realized, it was the relationship with the inner child that projects outside in terms of who we want as friends, who we marry, who we don't grow into. All these things are connected to the relationship with the other half of who you need to discover in order to be whole. And that other half is that inner Mary, inner James, inner Stell that are going, hey,
I
what about
think,
me?
yeah.
Right.
I think that's a whole topic. Like, that's a whole podcast in itself, right? The relationship with
With self,
yourself.
yeah. And it was beautiful to experience because and I'll tell you guys just how it showed up in reality, just so that we're not talking philosophically, but first playoff game, four tickets. It's me, Gabe's, Thomas, and I have one other ticket. And my cousin's here from Montreal. It was our Greek Easter, so the big fat Greek family was together. And you know, initially I'm like, I want to take one of my cousins from Montreal because they're here as guests. And that's again the old program going, well, you know, we should be able to support them because they're coming here. Well, because it was Sunday, they needed to go back to Montreal. That wasn't the case. And then my brother asked me, can I come? Absolutely, let's go. The experience that we had and the moments that were created, seen through my brother's eyes, was interesting to watch. But everything that happened has been cultivating for years with who we've been building relationships with at the arena, because I'm a season's ticket holder. And I'll either go with Gabriel or go with Thomas. Gabriel, Thomas. Why? Because it was always important to me to create these moments and memories. And on Sunday, I think about six things happened. And as an example, we fist pumped the players, just showed up. Thomas ends up getting, they have three stars at the end of the game. Our goalie got one of the three stars, and then they throw a stick into the crowd, and he ended up getting the stick, right? We ended up getting moved down to four of the amazing seats in the accessible section that Gabe's was at, because technically there should only be two. So we had prime seats. We met Darcy Tucker, who was one of the guys that was amazing when I was younger. And so we took a picture with him. He signed the boys' shirts. I mean, it was just one thing after the other, the whole game. And my brother sat back and he's like, holy jumping, what just happened here? But then it hit me that it's that inner kid that's always been having fun throughout this whole process, because hockey is something big from when I was a kid. And how it was showing up or manifesting in terms of the excitement of what was happening through the importance of, we talked about this in previous podcasts, adding a zero to the experience. Because honestly, the game was like 100 out of 10. But it all began with a deeper understanding of, hey, that inner Stell, that inner child Stell is starting to grow up and be, so the attention is on him now, where the inner and the outer are starting to align. So anyways, it was an amazing experience. So that's my best friend.
I love that.
And he's cool.
Best guy ever. We'll do anything
best
for you.
Best guy ever.
Otherwise, you've got a pretty bleak future ahead if he's not.
That's true. That's so interesting. I mean, and you know, we're going to do a couple more episodes on relationships, because obviously we've just peeled one layer of the onion on this. But it's interesting how the relationship with self is sort of first and foremost. And, you know, that whole, we spend the first part of our life learning how to survive and unknowing ourselves, and then we spend the last part of our life discovering who we are again, is so important. And then it's also super critical to have good relationships with others. Like, that's a key factor in happiness, fighting depression, being successful, being healthy. Like, literally just your physiology is better when you can connect with others. And that's not an easy thing, because then you're also like in a world connecting with other people in their complex contexts, you know, what they're dealing with. And you know, never mind, like, maybe next. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No.
I was just going to say, I mean, the divorce rate is like 50%, you know? I mean, well-intentioned people, you know, stand in front of each other and promise forever. And forever is, you know, they change. And they're, you know, they're, and it could just be the complexity of those two humans not lining up. And as they grow and evolve, like, all that stuff, right? It's not easy. Yeah.
The key thing that you said is you're also in a relationship with someone else and their inner child.
Yeah.
Right. So the separation that gets created, or the not so separation that gets created as we get older, also has an impact on the relationships that we're in.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting
idea. We don't know their inner child when you meet, when you're young, and you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole onion there.
Who's your best friend, James?
You.
Yeah, Stell's inner child is our everyone's new best friend.
No, but let me add something, because as you're both talking, I'm thinking about something, because also maybe you ask some people and they don't know if they have a best friend. I think we've all got friends, but there might be some people who say, look, I've got a ton of friends, but I don't know what a best friend looks like. or if I have one or not. And I think that's okay. It's okay to have lots of friends, but not necessarily have a best friend. And I think you're best if you have one, two, or three truly best friends. But also, I said earlier on this podcast that it's not something that I think we have to work on. And I want to make another comment on that, because I don't think that's, I think I'm probably fortunate that I haven't had to work on these two friendships, because they are also similar to me in that they think about how much time we're spending talking to each other. Is it just about me talking all the time, or is it, you know, them asking questions or sharing? And I've got somebody who I would say had the potential to be a best friend that I've spent a lot of time with over the last few years, but they just used to spend all of the time talking about them and their problems, and it gets draining. And so if I when I said I don't think we need to work on it, I think it's worth just looking. If you've got two or three people around you which you are super close with, ask yourself, you know, how much time are you spending asking that other person that you care about deeply about themselves? You know, oh, by the way, how was your week? You know, when is your birthday? Have you gone out? Is your anniversary? Like, if you want to take that friendship to the next level and be one of the best friends, you know, ask, you know, make a list of some questions and say, do I know the answers to these questions about this person? And if you don't, then maybe it's your own, you know, yourself, which is stopping it from being a better friendship than what it is.
I think that's great. I think, you know, I've definitely left friendships that were draining to me, and that I, you know, I felt like not that I'm so much giving a lot, but that being in that space doesn't lift me up, make me feel good, energize me, etc. It brings me down. So not necessarily around the sort of back and forth of the conversation, but more just around what that person's interested in and what they focus on. I mean, we see those, you know, being around people who everything is bad. I struggle with that. So I've definitely left those relationships before. And so then I think about intention, like my setting an intention, and I try to do this, you know, how do I want to show up? What type of energy do I want to bring and contribute to even this conversation, or, you know, events with family and things like that. And I want to be able to walk away from interactions feeling lifted up and energized and excited about the world. Not all the time, but generally. And so for me, like, the work isn't about booking time with people. It's more if it'll feel like work when it brings me down and I feel like a lesser person or whatever as a result, then I know that, like, that doesn't serve me. That's when a relationship feels like work to me.
Yeah. Somebody said something at Strategic Coach, which is the entrepreneurial program that we belong to. And he put up his hand and he said, I run by this model. If I don't want it forever, I don't want it today.
Ooh.
Okay. Now think about that for a second, right? So it's like, okay. And it's not, I didn't look at it in necessarily a concrete way saying, okay, get rid of everybody. But if you think about what the topic is that we're talking about right now, okay, and you make a list of the people and you say, okay, what is it? Right. I mean, obviously, if it's somebody that you shouldn't be around, it's like get rid of them yesterday because the values aren't aligned. But if it's somebody that's a friend, now you say, okay, what is it? If I don't want it forever, what don't I want today? And it may provide some brutal honesty in terms of what's important to you.
Yeah, I think that's a great filter. I love it.
So
I love it.
Hope
Let's
that
take
helps.
That one. Let's have that be the mic drop at the end of this episode, and we'll pick up relationships. I think that we've got at least two more topics: relationship with self, relationship with partner. Maybe there's relationship with family coming up too. So we'll take those up in the future episodes. Sound good, everybody?
Sounds amazing.
All right. Who's your best friend? I love it. Okay.
James and Mary.
Yes. Stell's inner child. Okay. And we're out. And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. Oh,
If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.